Hello and welcome to A Health Podicy. I'm your host, Alan Weil. The COVID-19 pandemic placed tremendous pressure on the healthcare workforce, but nowhere was that pressure greater than in nursing homes. The American Healthcare Association and National Center for Assisted Living report that nursing homes lost 15% of their workforce during the pandemic, more than any other part of the healthcare sector. But even before the pandemic, nursing homes experienced staffing shortages, and many relied upon staffing agencies to fill in the gaps. Agency staff fill an important role, but they're not the same as employed staff. How has the reliance of nursing homes on staffing agencies changed in recent years? That's the topic of today's episode of A Health Podicy. I'm here with John Bobliss, professor of economics at Miami University and research fellow at the Scripps Gerontology Center. Dr. Bobliss and co-authors published a paper in the March 2024 issue of Health Affairs examining trends in the use of staffing agencies among nursing homes before and during the COVID-19 pandemic. And they found that between 2018 and 2022, the share of nursing homes that used agency nursing staff to provide direct care to residents increased from 22% to nearly 50%. We'll dig into these numbers in more detail and discuss their implications in today's episode. Dr. Bobliss, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So this is a really important topic. We've all heard about staffing issues in nursing homes. There's a lot of policy debate these days about minimum staffing ratios and the like. But if we could just start, nursing staff is a fairly broad term. And I think we all know we need good staffing to have high quality patient care. But can you say a little bit, just to set the stage for your work, what are some of the different categories of nursing staff and what role do they play in a nursing home?
There are three general types of nursing staff. There's what we call licensed staff that include registered nurses and licensed practical nurses. Licensed practical nurses in some states are licensed as licensed vocational nurses. In addition to those two groups, we also have a third group, which is called nurses' aides, sometimes also called certified nurse aides.
And so these are different levels of education, training, experience, and I gather that sort of you've put them in order from the highest level of education and training and brought a scope of practice to some who play really much more supportive roles. Is that right?
That is correct. So a registered nurse, for example, is somebody who's got a certain amount of education and training. They are sort of the highest rung of qualifications. Underneath those, we have the licensed practical nurses, which have still a large number of clinical education, but they're not sort of trained to the same level as a registered nurse. And then finally, the certified nurse aides are individuals who only have a certain number of hands-on training, so they don't have to have that same educational background.
So there are obvious differences, but the common feature is that they all interact with patients, and having them well-trained and in appropriate numbers is certainly going to be important to having a high-quality experience in a nursing home. Let's go to the focus of your study, which is on nursing home staffing agencies. Explain what that is and what role they play in this system.
So normally a nursing home would like to try to employ their own nurses to provide that care to patients and residents. However, there will be times when a staff member is sick, may have gone on vacation, have a medical emergency. And so what staffing agencies do is they come in and provide staff on that sort of temporary basis to fill in those gaps when they're needed.
So, you know, I think about organizations like mine, which is just a bunch of people sitting around in offices doing really hard work, but we don't have any direct patient engagement. And if someone's out for a day, you just sort of set the work aside and they pick it up when they come back. But obviously, when you are caring for real human beings right there in front of you, a vacancy is potentially very consequential. So this, in concept, is primarily about filling in around gaps and, as you say, an absence of sickness, something like that. Sort of that's the origin of the concept. Is that fair?
Yeah. So what happens is if you think about this is you have a number of patients that you need to care for. They're there 24/7. So if somebody calls out on a particular shift, you know, at a, say a grocery store, the other people can pick up the difference, or maybe what happens is the lines are a little longer. In a nursing home setting, what happens is that means that care may not be provided. And so therefore, you know, trying to get somebody in there temporarily on a fast basis is extremely important.
So that makes a lot of sense. Let's start turning then to the findings. You set the stage very nicely. You looked at changes overall in the use of staffing agencies over time. We'll get into the details, but what's sort of the top line finding, if you will?
In particular, what we found is two things. One is that there are a significant increase in the number of nursing homes that are using agency staff, and that the proportion of the time that staff are directly caring for residents has gone up significantly as well.
Okay, so those are two obviously related, but also somewhat separate phenomena, and I want to spend more time talking through those with you. Before we get to that, we know any paper we publish at Health Affairs, below that top line, there are potential places of variation that are worth highlighting. So a couple that I noted in the paper that I'd ask you to say a little bit about. First of all, we began the conversation talking about the three different categories of nursing staff. So was this consistent across all three or different for the three?
We did see increases across all three, but the rate of increases could be different. So in particular, we saw the largest growth among licensed practical nurses and certified nurse aides, with the smallest growth happening among registered nurses.
Okay, so it's a similar trend, but different in magnitude. And then you also, this is a national study, you looked around the country. Was it uniform? And to the extent that it wasn't, are there patterns that you could describe?
We did see increases in almost every state, but there are some states where this, you know, has gone off the map. You know, for example, by 2020, we're seeing in states like Vermont, where almost 85% of nursing homes are using agency staff, where those numbers were significantly lower in 2018. Even in the states where we don't see a lot of agency staff used, there were significant increases.
And I mean, I know this is a complicated question to try to answer, but is there anything about Vermont that we should know about that makes it obvious why that change would occur? Or were there other states where you saw, you know, regional patterns? Or is this really just sort of, well, there are different things happening in different state markets?
You know, we tried to actually look at that and try to unpack, do we see some differences? And there isn't a significant regional pattern that we're finding. So some states that, you know, have high unionization, like California, have lower use of agency staff, whereas states like New York have a lot. There's a lot of other things that might be going on more at the state level, specific to what's going on in state policy or, you know, the local economy in that area that's really driving those differences.
Yeah, so that's, I think it's important. It's good that you looked, and it's important to acknowledge that sometimes even when you look, there's no obvious factor here standing out. But presumably people in individual states looking at these data may say, oh, there's something going on here that we ought to pay attention to. I want to go deeper into the increases that you observed, and particularly this note that you made earlier about the share of nursing homes, but also the share of hours. We'll talk about what that really means and what some of the implications are of that after we take a short break.
Our United Healthcare Community and State Newsletter is your go-to source for the latest Medicaid news and United Healthcare programs serving Medicaid beneficiaries. Subscribe now by visiting our website at uhccs.com/newsletter. Stay in the know by gaining access to our latest blogs, educational videos, and upcoming events. At United Healthcare, our mission is to help people live healthier lives and make the health system work better for everyone in local communities across the U.S.
And we're back. I'm speaking with Dr. John Boblis about how nursing homes have increased their reliance on staffing agencies. We've thus far sort of discussed the general trends and some of the variation in those trends. But one thing that stands out when you read the paper is that there are multiple phenomena that are related, but they have somewhat different implications. And so I'd like to go a little deeper into that. You note that more nursing homes are using staffing, but also that a larger share of the nursing provided in nursing homes is provided by agency staff. So let's just start with sort of the, if you will, the arithmetic of this, which is how do those two differ but relate to each other? And then let's start trying to figure out what story they tell.
When we look at the proportion or the share of facilities that are using agency staff, it's sort of looking at how big of a problem is the potential staffing shortage across the United States. And so by seeing increases in that over time, what we're saying is that more facilities are facing these shortages. That's essentially what we see in that data. When it comes to the share of hours worked, now what we're saying is among those that are using agency staff, how intensely are you using agency staff? Is this one person filling in or is this multiple people filling in? And what we're sort of seeing is that intensity is going up significantly, saying not only are they having a problem with one or two people, they're having a problem with multiple staff members coming in.
Okay, so that ties to a question about why this is important. And then I want us to come back to mapping the answer you just gave on why this is important. So if you're running a nursing home or if you're a resident in a nursing home, why does any of this matter?
From the perspective of, say, an operator, agency staff is about 50 to 60% more expensive. If I've got to rely on agency staff, that's less financial resources that I have to basically spend on other things that can improve quality of care or quality of life for those individual residents. The second thing is, from a resident's perspective, is that we care about continuity of care. For example, if I'm a staff member and I'm caring for the same residents every single day, I get to know their personal preferences. That improves their quality of life. But I also get to observe what's happening with them clinically. And I may be able to observe clinical declines earlier, which gives them better quality of care.
This is where I think the data picture becomes really a critical one. So what you're describing, and I realize it's in general terms, what you're describing is the potential, certainly, for there to be less good quality care in the broadest sense of the word if you have an excessive reliance on agency staff. And I'm not trying to, again, set sort of a specific threshold, but there's maybe a risk gradient that the more turnover there is in general, including through agency staff, the more opportunities there are for misses of the kind of clinical changes you've described. And now let's go back to this finding that it's not just that there are more nursing homes relying on agency staffing, but that they're relying on a larger share. So when you began the story, it was really the agencies are here to fill in when someone calls in sick. But it does seem that as those numbers get higher and higher, it can't just be that everyone's calling in sick more, right? This becomes sort of a permanent, flexible workforce for an understaffed nursing home. Is that a fair way to characterize what's really happening when these numbers get big?
That is actually correct. And we've actually looked at the data to try to answer that question. In particular, we looked at whether the agencies, when they're coming into nursing homes, are coming in only for, say, a few days in the year, which is consistent with coming in when somebody's sick, or are they used on a daily basis throughout the entire year? And what we're finding is that in 2018, the majority of facilities were using them on that sort of temporary basis when somebody's coming in sick. By the time we get to 2020, there are facilities that have agency staff coming in every single day. And so it's sort of this transition towards we're using this to fill in for shortages.
So this just seems to me to be a really powerful finding because, again, you know, if you ask people, well, we had a pandemic, we lost a lot of nursing staff, and so people had to rely more on agency, you'd sort of go, yeah, that's probably right. But what you just said is that this data, the way you've been able to analyze them, actually show us a shift in the model of how the staff are used that could potentially have very significant consequences for residents and presumably also for the nursing home operators, because you mentioned the price issues. So can you give me a sense, and again, I know that there's no sort of exact cutoff here, but on the one hand, you have more nursing homes using the agency staff. You also have more use of those staff in the nursing homes that are using them. So can you sort of characterize the degree to which we're seeing this shift? You said some homes have them use agency staff every day, but presumably that's not most of them. So can you give me some sense of scale of the shift here?
To give you an example, when we looked at the proportion of facilities, if they were using agency staff for the entire year, every single day, that number in 2018 was only around 7% of facilities. By the time we get to 2022, that's about 15% of facilities. And in fact, if we sort of measure this by, do you have agency staff in almost every day except for a couple of days in the year? That number is almost up to about 40%. So it's a huge, dramatic shift.
That is huge and reaches just a tremendous number of residents. So I feel like I have an understanding, I hope our listeners do, of the degree to which this isn't just a story of needing to use agencies, but it's a story of really some fundamental shifts in the workforce for nursing homes in such a large share of the nursing homes in the country. So let's talk, we're a policy journal, and you know, you want to look at this and go, wow, this is at least potentially a problem. We haven't focused so much on the cost side and how nursing homes might have to respond to the increased cost. But let's just think about the staffing issues here. What might be possible to increase the ability of nursing homes to recruit and retain the permanent staff so that there's less of a need to rely on agencies?
Well, I think one of them is understanding why there is the use of agency staff. In particular, it's because in some way it's more attractive to the actual workers. If you think about what the pandemic has done is if you were working in an office job, we have work from home. We have more flexibility. When you have to physically care for a resident on a particular shift, there isn't that same level of flexibility. And so as a nursing home, when you hire people directly, you're trying to hire people to particular shifts. Whereas by working as an agency nurse, I'm going to have that ability to sort of pick when I want to work. And so therefore, there is that increase in flexibility. And so I think some of the solution here is going to be from the perspective of the owners of how do you create that flexibility with hiring direct care workers? And that's a difficult challenge.
So that sounds really interesting. I can't help but also be puzzled around the cost side of this, which is one reason, presumably, retention is low is because of low salaries. But then if you have to increase by 50% or more to get agency, why not just plow that back into your own salaries and have more permanent staff? Is that a possibility?
So when people come to work, they have different levels of experience and they've been with the company for a different amount of time. And so that creates sort of these differences in wages. And so increasing wages is difficult because you have to sort of treat the people who have been there and loyal to you for a long time the same way that you're hiring brand new people. And so by using agency staff, it sort of allows you to do that. The other thing is a lot of this isn't just salary alone. It deals with flexibility. The question would be is if I just provide you with more money, but I don't give you that flexibility, those people may want to leave anyway and may only take a few extra bucks.
So that's so fascinating that like if this is a challenge on the margin and you're only buying labor on the margin, then you can pay extra for it and feel like you're leaving the base alone and you're solving a problem. But when this becomes a bigger share of your labor force, then paying that much extra for that large a share of your labor force, you've got to start asking, can we plow some of that back in? And the more, so there is sort of like a tipping point here, which is that the more you rely on agency staff, the harder it becomes to play this game, maybe that's not the right word for it, of paying a little extra for the flexible people, but trying to keep the salaries low for the people who are already there. This is a complex labor market dynamic that we probably can't solve in the span of a podcast recording.
No, exactly. And there's all these other equity issues, which is if I start increasing the wages of the LPNs, because that's where I have the shortages, how are the RNs going to feel? Or how is the housekeeping staff going to feel? And so when you're running a business, it's not just about the one staff member or the type of staff. You've got to think about it from a holistic standpoint of how is this going to affect the morale of the entire building? And so I think sometimes we forget that there is other people working there who might say, you're giving all these other people wages, why aren't you giving me wage increases? Maybe I'll leave and you create a bigger problem.
Exactly. So you end up, in essence, sort of, they're almost functioning like two separate labor markets, but they're all working side by side. Well, this is very fascinating and clearly an area for further exploration. Well, Dr. Broblis, this is so important, and I appreciate your being able to sort of take these numbers and trends that, as I say, may seem not surprising, but to put them in a context where it shows a really quite important shift in how we even approach staffing, and then, as you've just done, show the complexity of backing our way out of this. I look forward to what else you can do in this area to shed light on the matter and continuing to follow your work. Thank you so much today for being my guest on Health Podacy.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you'll tell a friend about the Health Podacy.